All right, with that introduction, welcome again. It is great to see you all. You know, it's that time of year. I'd like to do a special welcome to any graduates that we have, recent graduates. That is big doings. You know, congratulations if you just graduated from school in some way. You're probably sick of people asking you, what's next? What are you going to do with your life? You know, you can change the world. Although I want to say, it's really healthy for us to ask ourselves the question of what am I supposed to do with my life, right? What am I supposed to do with my life? It's good to reflect on and pray about and think about. You know, we're not just celebrating graduation tonight. I think this weekend we're also celebrating Pentecost, which you may have heard of. It's kind of like a graduation. Before Jesus, like, graduated his disciples and sent them off to change the world, he said, hold on, you wait till you get your diplomas. No, it wasn't their diplomas. They got the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. So if we're followers of Jesus and we got the Holy Spirit, we have his presence and his power, well, what do we do? Back to that question. What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Yeah. I wonder what Jesus would have said, right? I mean, I wonder what he would say to himself when asked that question. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Which, of course, begs the question, what is the Father doing? Hey, I know this one, actually. The Father is making the world perfect again. I've actually read to the end of the book. I'm one of those people that, like, flips to the back because I want to know how the story ends. And if you flip to the back of the story, the back of the Bible, you can see what God is doing is he is making this world perfect again. Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Okay, what's the Father doing? He's making everything new. He's making the world perfect again. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Okay, so the story ends with God making the world perfect again, right? Making everything new. Now, from that whole burning like a fire thing, you can tell that not everybody gets in on the perfect world, right? So let's be really clear on who gets in and who doesn't. Does it say that, like, the people that tell the truth, the sexually pure, they're in? No, it doesn't actually say that. Now, it lists off a bunch of people who don't deserve to get in, including my favorite, all liars. Anyone here never, ever lied in their entire life? Of course, if you raise your hand, we won't believe you. But if you, anyone brave enough to say they've never, ever lied? Now, what? So who is it? Who is it that gets in? To the thirsty, I will give water without cost. Are we thirsty? Are we humble enough to say to God, I need you. I need you to save me. All right, backing up here. What's going on here? What we see in what we just read is God, he is answering our prayer. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom, right? God's kingdom is where he's in charge. It's where he has his rule and reign. It's where he gets what he wants. And when Jesus comes back again for the second time, he's going to completely get what he wants. 100%, that, just like it's in heaven, that's why it's perfect. But focus in on verse 5. Verse 5 says, I am making everything new. And that's present tense. God, even now, His kingdom is breaking through. The future, what will happen when Jesus comes again, is breaking through and happening now in our world. It's already beginning. So when people are physically healed, right, when they get prayed for and their miracles happen, that's a taste of God's kingdom, a preview of when there'll be no death, no pain, none of that, right? His kingdom. Or for us, right, in our lives, when God comes and helps us tell the truth or helps us be sexually pure, you know, turn away from the porn when we can't seem to do it on our own. That's God's kingdom breaking through. Or when we're lonely, so lonely, or hurt, like profoundly hurt, and God comes to us and wraps his arms around us and cries with us and wipes away our tears, you know, brings like that supernatural sense of peace and calm and even joy. That's God's kingdom breaking into our lives. You know what I'm talking about? Have you experienced God's kingdom? Because you can. Yeah, lots of people here have. It's a thing. It is so wonderful. So again, what's God doing, right? What is he doing? He's changing the world, right? He's making it perfect again. That's what the Father, the Son, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, that's what they're doing. What about us, right? What are we supposed to be doing? Again, back to our question. What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Well, if we're followers of Jesus, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." Bingo, there it is. If we're followers of Jesus, we do what Jesus did. We do what he's doing, right? We're part of the family business. We get to help make the world perfect again, to help renew this world. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father might be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Oh, there's a lot there, but let's just look at two things. One, our mission, what we're supposed to be doing, is helping them make the world perfect again. It's right there, okay? Second, we get help. We get the Holy Spirit, God's presence and his power in us, helping it do it, the Spirit of Truth. That's what we're going to look at today. How we do that, right? How we get to partner with God to change this world, to make it new. And we'll see that we do need some truth, right? From the Spirit of Truth. We need to see some things. We need to see this world the way God sees it. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us. And we need to see God at work so we can join in on what he's doing. So let's ask God to show us those things today. Let's ask him to change us. Join me as we pray. God, I welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask for that. We ask for this world to change, to become a place where there's just more and more of your kingdom breaking through in us and through us. I ask that you will change us, God, and send us out to help change this world. Amen. Okay, if we're going to help God, if we're going to partner with him to change this world, to make it perfect again, great place to start is to see the world the way God sees it. God, right? He sees it all, right? He sees everything, all the hard truth, all the brokenness. Now, it's true that his kingdom is already coming. Already, it's breaking through. Crazy, great things are happening. But at the same time, it is not yet completely here. I mean, of course, no duh, huh? And look around. This world ain't perfect yet. God sees all of that, right? He sees every tear in every eye. He sees all the death and pain. And in the midst of all this mess, you know what God does? He still loves us. He loves this world. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life." He loves this world, and he wants us to love him back. That's why he lets us choose between accepting him or rejecting him. We get that choice, and we get that choice because God wants real love. He doesn't want robot love, right? If he would have just made us so we had to love him, that's not real love. No, God, he hates the evil in this world because he loves us. But God permits the evil in this world because he wants us to love him back. That's true love. God sees this world with truth and love. What about us? What about us? Do we see the truth about this world? You know, like as we're going about our like everyday life, right? We're living our lives. Do we see the truth about this world? I think most of us, we look at this world and we're like, it's kind of messed up. But you know what? I guess it's basically okay. Right? We look at ourselves and we're like, you know, I'm not perfect, but you know, nobody is. Sure, there's things in me that need to change, but you know, I'm getting by. I'm handling it. You know, we look at our families and, you know, the people around us in our circle, our, you know, folks at work, and we're like, well, no one's fighting right now. No one's punching each other. I guess they were okay, right? We're doing all right. And, you know, we drive around Duluth or the upper Midwest, and, you know, we see nice houses and nice cars and boats, and there's kids fishing and kids playing soccer, and we're like, you know what? Things seem okay. And, you know, maybe we'll see something scary on TV, right? Don't watch TV. Scary stuff on TV, but, you know, that's on the other side of the world, and maybe we meet some folks from somewhere other country, and we're like, yeah, they're basically like me. They're basically okay. I wonder, Jesus, right, when he, like, takes a stroll around, does he ever think, like, hey, these people, they are basically okay. You know what? They probably don't need my kingdom. You know, Holy Spirit, let's go hang out with the angels, right? This ain't going to be any fun. Is that what Jesus thinks? No. Jesus knows us, right? He knows you. Yeah, Jesus knows how humble and how generous and how compassionate and loving you are. He knows you, right? And he knows me. And guess what? He loves us so much, he ain't satisfied with the way we are. No, he wants to free us from our addictions and our pride, right? He loves us so much. And he sees all the broken marriages and the parents and kids that don't talk to each other. And he sees the beautiful houses with the well-manicured lawns and the people inside who lack meaning and purpose in their lives and are empty. Jesus, he also sees like the kids that go to bed hungry and the girls that are stuck in human trafficking, the little boys that are torn down by racism, the things people say to them. Jesus sees the lonely people, so lonely that they try to fill the hole in them with porn and drugs and alcohol and food, whatever it is, more and more self-destructive behavior. Jesus sees hundreds, thousands, millions of people in Duluth, the Midwest, the world that are spiritually starving. Starving. The need for God's kingdom is enormous. And we're mainly missing it. We are. Thankfully, we got a super good teacher in the Holy Spirit, right? If we want to do what we're supposed to do, what we're made for, right, to help make this world perfect again, we need to start asking him, Holy Spirit, we need to start praying, like, what's going on here? What's the truth in this world? Let's stop avoiding it and rationalizing it away, okay? Let's start going to places where we can see the truth, the need in this world, like maybe the food shelf, or just go out in the world, you'll see it. And let's stop like guarding our hearts and like protecting it from the world. Yeah, I'm sure there's some of us that are just plain clueless, like sometimes me. But we actually see more of this world than we let on. There's some real willful blindness going on. We see the world and we think all the need, all the pain, it'll crush us. You know, it overwhelms us. Yeah, the real question is, can we see the truth about this world and still be loving and still love this world? And you know what? I don't think we can. Not for long. Not without Jesus' help. Not without the Holy Spirit. Come on. I don't think we can. There's so much pain, and the need for God's kingdom is enormous. If we're going to see this world with both truth and love, we need God's help. And you know, that starts out with a pretty simple equation. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. He first loved us. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. See how this works? We need to experience God's love. The Holy Spirit coming and letting us experience God's love, having it change us, so then we can see the world with love. We can love the world. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get overwhelmed by this. I got friends that are like, their lives are messed up. Sometimes I see stuff in this world and I'm like, I don't know what to say. I don't even know what to pray. Holy Spirit, I need your help. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. You ever needed that kind of help? Yeah, we need the Holy Spirit. If we're going to see this world the way God, the way the Spirit sees it, we're going to need him on both sides of this to show us the truth of this and to help us to continue to love this broken world. And to do that, you know what? We're going to have to spend time with the Holy Spirit. When are we doing that in our lives? We've got to spend time with him. Maybe in the morning, you got the devotional. You got to have times that you spend with the Holy Spirit. If you actually want to see this world, you got to invite him into that. All right, so if we're going to do what we're supposed to do, right? If we're going to help make this world perfect, we got to see this world like God sees it, with truth and love. There's more, though. We also need to see ourselves like God sees us. And God, he loves us. He is like the proud father who like wants those kids in on the family business. In Ephesians, it says this: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Okay, if you're like me, you know, you like to get things done. You read that and you're like, oh, we're created to do good works. Let's get at it. Let's change this world. Let's make it perfect. Skipping the first part there. Did you notice the first part? We are God's handiwork. And that Greek word there that gets translated handiwork, that could also be translated, we are God's poem. We are his works of art. Who we are matters in this deal. It really does. And so what we need is some self-awareness. Self-awareness. Not super popular always in our culture, but we need it. Self-awareness. You know, there's lots of followers of Jesus that want to do great things, but they skip this step and they stumble. We need self-awareness. So let's press into some self-awareness with just this one little simple question. Are we in the kitchen? Are we in the kitchen? Because you can't serve what you're not cooking. If we're disciples, if we're apprentices of Jesus, right, we're supposed to be like Jesus. We're supposed to have his character, right? We're supposed to have his courage and his warmth, his integrity. You know, we're supposed to have his compassion for people. We're supposed to have his balance of boldness and humility, his balance of grace and truth. We get that in our lives. We become more and more like him, set apart, holy, sanctified. Why? Why do we do that? To make Jesus happy? Sure, yeah. It's a way of loving him back, right? Of giving him glory. Do we do it for ourselves? Yeah, sure. It's a way of becoming who we were meant to be. A way of actually experience real freedom in this world. But we also become more and more like Jesus for the world. To help make the world perfect. I mean, think about this, right? Jesus is there at the start, right? He's got his original 12 jokers there, and he's like, you guys go and make disciples, right? And here, you have at it. What does he send them with? Now, he knows the Holy Spirit's coming, right? And the Holy Spirit's going to give them gifts and power, and oh, absolutely, Jesus knows all that. But Jesus sends them out with something too. Do you know what? Well, did he send them out with, some flashy videos and some, you know, training manuals on evangelism and discipleship and, you know, a great marketing plan and social media strategy? Did he send them out with that? No, he didn't. Think about what we did do here. Did he teach them how to play some killer guitar and, you know, give talks and people don't fall asleep? We're still working on that one. Did he do that?
No.
He absolutely did this. He sent them out with cool nicknames. The Rock, Sons of Thunder.
No.
Yeah, he actually did do that, but I don't think that made much difference. Okay. So what was Jesus thinking? I mean, does he's counting on the Holy Spirit to do it all? No, he sends them out with something. Jesus, just before he goes to the cross, he's praying, and he says to the Father this. He says, He's praying for his disciples, for us, and he says, I am coming to you now. Again, he's talking to the Father. But I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Okay, do you see what Jesus sent them out with? Do you see what he sent them out with? Maybe kind of, maybe a little bit. Do you see, I mean, you at least see that he's sending them out, right? It was right there in verse 18, right? As you sent me, I have sent them. I have sent them, okay? Now, notice that the I have sent them part in here, it's a sanctified sandwich, right? Right before it in verse 17, right after it in verse 19, the disciples are sanctified. They are sanctified. Okay. Sanctified isn't a word normal people use. No, you don't hear people talking about that. What it means is to be set apart, to be holy. See what Jesus is doing here? Jesus, he knows the Holy Spirit's coming, but he's sending them out with something. And what he is sending them out with, and by the way, he sends them out and they actually literally change the world. Here's the one thing he sends them out with: personal discipleship. Holiness, being more like Jesus. This is a big deal. Think about this. Look around this room, right? There's more than 12 of us here, right? Why haven't our workplaces and our schools and our community, Duluth, the world, why hasn't it changed more? You know, it's not like the Holy Spirit is out of gas, right? He's got all the power, right? He's got so much power. That's not the issue. Could it be that we have other things like, you know, programs and plans and strategies, but what we really need more of is holiness in us? Do we have flaws in this whole thing? Do we have gaps like in our integrity? Are those things going on? Like, what's going on, right? And now, yeah, I am like 100% for like giving people candy bars and tricking them to come to church. That's fine, right? Let's get them to come here. And when they come here, we want them to hear some good music and have maybe hopefully a little bit interesting talk and actually hear the good news about Jesus. But let me tell you, when people come here, they're not really looking for a good show. What they're looking for is this thing real in us? Does it make a difference in our lives? There's people that are so desperate for Jesus. They are spiritually starving. And they come and they look at us, whether it's here or out in the world, and they go, oh, those are followers of Jesus. Are they any different than anyone else? Are they kinder? Are they more approachable, less snobbish? Can they handle pressure? Or face death? Or are they calm? And is there a peace in them? You know, even do they think better than other people? Do they hold on to truth firmly, but yet remain open-minded? Are they any different? So are we? Are we any different? I mean, seriously, when people look at us, do they say, oh my goodness, they've experienced God and he has changed them. Do they see that when they look at us? Are we God's handiwork? Do they see that shining through? I'll tell you, in my life, I need more of this. Holy Spirit, I need you. I need to meet with you regularly, daily, weekly. And you need to show me the gaps in my life, the places where I need transformation so I look more like Jesus. I mean, we all have our addictions, our sins of choice. What's yours? Changing the world starts with us. Starts with us. So right now, what's the Holy Spirit pointing to in us? Holy Spirit, come. Change us so we look more like Jesus. Change us. Okay. We are supposed to be helping to change the world, right? We're making it perfect again. We get to be on this family business, and we've seen how we need to see the world through the Spirit of truth can show us the truth about this world. We can see it with truth and love. And we need to see ourselves, right? We're supposed to be these like artworks of God, that people see us and they see Jesus. That's a huge part of this deal. He loves us so much. That's why he wants that for us. But there's more. Yeah, there's more. We also need to see God at work, right? Now, often he's working in us, which I just talked about. He's working in us, and that's a good thing. It's a great place to start. But it's not all about us. Remember the broken world we talked about before, the truth about it? There's so many people that need the kingdom of God. Where is God? Where's the Holy Spirit asking us to join in and be part of that, what he's already doing? You know, one of the stories I love about in the Bible is when Jesus walked on water. Can you imagine how cool that was? And I love that Peter got to do it too, right? He got to join in and walk on the water too. But you know how that story goes exactly? Peter, he says to Jesus, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And then Jesus says, "Come, come." Okay? That's a thing we should remember, right? We need to ask God what he wants us to do, right? When we look at this world and we don't know where to get involved, when we get overwhelmed by it, we need to say, "Holy Spirit, I see that need there. Do you want me to be part of that? Do you want me to, you want to work through me to address that?" And if he doesn't say yes, he's got another plan to fix that. He's got a plan to fix everything, okay? And if we just rush in half-cocked, right, we're going to hurt ourselves, we're going to hurt others, and this hopefully goes without saying, not much is going to change because we got to have the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, even Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. We need to see what God's doing, see him at work, and join in. This is really healthy. Before you, like, I don't know, quit your job or, you know, move to Africa or adopt a child, whatever we're thinking we should do, let's ask him. Let's see if, does it line up with the Bible? Does it, you know, does it line up with what other followers of Jesus are hearing? Really important to ask him. Another maybe simpler example is praying, right? It's really important to see God at work when we pray for people. There's so many needs. So many people are struggling. It's great. Let's absolutely ask over and over again, "Can I pray for you right now? Can I pray for you right now?" I'd really recommend you take our class, Learning to Pray Like Jesus. We got another one coming up. Take Learning to Pray Like Jesus. You just learn from the Bible how Jesus prayed, and you learn the five-step prayer model we have here. It's five steps. The kids use it downstairs, right? It's really helpful. But for dumbos like me that have trouble remembering five things, you can really boil it down to just two steps, right? It's listen and obey. So when I pray for someone, inside, in my heart, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, you know this person and their needs. What do you want to do?" And then if the Holy Spirit says, "Pray for healing, pray for a miracle," then pray that. And if the Holy Spirit says, "Pray for peace or hope or joy," whatever it is, pray for that. And the Holy Spirit says, "Pray for humility and repentance," then pray for that. Let me tell you, it's a lot easier to just pray for whatever you want, right? But let me tell you, we'll end up praying for things that God's not doing and isn't going to do. Or even worse, we won't pray for things that God's just waiting to do. Pray for the cancer to be gone. When we look at our lives, right, can we see what God is doing, where he's at work around us, that we can join in, that we should be part of that? Do we see that? What's going on that we need to join in on, that we need to be part of? You know, for some of us, we probably do, and we're like, "Whoa, you know, I hear God calling me to, like, start a nonprofit or launch a movement, make this big impact. Great." For most of us, though, it's much more personal. It's usually just one person. God's like, "Okay, that coworker, that friend, that relative, invite them to lunch. Okay, now tell them what Jesus has done in your life. Pray for them. Invite them to come to church." Dallas Willard, super smart follower of Jesus. He was a USC professor. He said this when talking about social activism, right? He was talking about people changing the world. And here's what he said. And by the way, he didn't bring up like Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King Jr. I mean, those are great folks. They did great things. But here's what Willard said. He goes, "The true social activist is the person who lives as an apprentice of Jesus in his or her ordinary relationships. Let that sink in. The true social activist is the person who lives as apprentice of Jesus in his or her ordinary relationships. Who's the first person you see every day? Are you loving that person? A family member, a roommate, a neighbor? The first person we see, are we bringing the kingdom into their life? Yeah, maybe we're praying for healing when they're sick, but are we encouraging them, forgiving them when they don't deserve it? Are we, you know, giving them gifts just to say we love them? Or are we washing the dishes and cleaning the bathroom when it's not our turn? See, if we want to be in on this thing, if we want to help change the world, make it perfect, we don't have to join the Peace Corps or, you know, do missions in some far-off country, right? Every day, every moment, there is an opportunity to do this. And maybe these sound like small things. Oh, do them and see what the Holy Spirit can do, right? See what the Holy Spirit can do as we press into this. These things can change the world. Think about it. When we're driving our car, the way we treat other drivers, can that bring God's kingdom? Yeah, of course it can. When we're ordering coffee or standing in line at the store, right? We have an opportunity to shine Jesus' love into that environment, to bring God's kingdom there, to see it break through, right? When we're at work or school, we can ask someone, what are you working on? And can I help you with it? Now, we will get the, you know, what kind of weirdo are you look. Sure. But that's perfect, because then we can explain what kind of weirdo we are, the kind of weirdo that God loves. And through his love, we are learning to love other people like he does. And even here, like when we come to in community at the Vineyard, right, we love to like pray for each other and see God's kingdom come. We'll do that in a minute here, you know, in front. We love that. But let's not put God in a box, right? There's other ways to help bring his community, to help bring his kingdom here. Like, I love the way that the folks who park way away from the building, particularly when it is super cold out, so that other people can park close and experience that love. I love folks who here who see someone new and like actually talk to them and like hear their story and get to know them because God wants to know them and invite them into their life. Or, you know, we could actually pick up some of those six packs, those cards, and actually invite some people to come here. You know, I could go on and on with this stuff, but you know what? We need to listen to the Holy Spirit, right? We need to hear what he's saying, the God that's actually making this world perfect again, that's changing it. And he loves us so much that he wants us to be part of it. He wants us in on the family business. So are we willing to say, God, what are you doing? Show me. Let me see you at work so I can join in. I tell you what, why don't you go ahead and stand up with me now and we can ask him these questions. We can